any additional advertising or outreach to the broader community as a result of this taking place?
Right now, we do not have a specific advertising. We have it on our website. Actually, a majority of our folks are hearing it word of mouth, and also for a long time, we were the number one spot on TripAdvisor. And then they shifted it around, and they didn't call us being in Daytona Beach anymore, and so therefore we were bounced out of the Daytona Beach TripAdvisor. But no, we're not going to be doing anymore.
Actually, one final question. Was there any, was the new development in any way reviewed for LEED certification?
No, sir, we did not strive for LEED. LEED is a proprietary. We would probably go for Florida Green Building, of which Volusia County is one of the only five counties in the state of Florida that has that certification. But again, we're also dealing with an existing structure. So therefore, for us to be able to do so and maintain the continuity of the existing architecture and not having to reskin and rebuild that whole structure, that's what we have to do.
That's it.
Is that it, Robert? Thank you so much for your excellent questions. We're very appreciative of that. Is there anyone else from the public who wishes to ask? Oh, Mr. Hunt, how are you? It's good to see you.
I'm here, thankfully. James Hunt from Port Orange. I'm really, really impressed with everybody's comments and the presentation of the county. It's great. I have brought along a letter from June 27th, 2017, which addressed to Mr. Cannon of the Planning Board and copied Mr. Kelly of the county, Mr. Cannon of the Planning Board, Mayor Smith, and Ponce and Volusia County residents. And at the time, we had fought in 1981, 2, and 3, 500 townhouse condominium projects or units on the land that the Marine Science Center sits on. And fortunately, through one of the sentences I was going to read is that in 1983, we stopped a 500-unit townhouse project on this land, that land, overcoming three planning board members voting for condos, believe it or not, and three town council members voting for condos on that very 52 acres of which this piece of property is part. It took us 3 years. Bob was a key guy also. We won. We stopped them. The land was saved and purchased by the state of Florida in 1983 with our application for Save Our Coast funds of $1,450,000 and Volusia County taxpayers' funds of $1,250,000. $2,700,000 was the purchase price. The county council then spent $980,000 improving the land with pavilions, dune walkovers, and comfort facilities. The park opened in November 1986. Except for some updated toilets, it is essentially today what was built. Here is 34 years ago, and that's now 40-some years ago. At that time, we discussed February 2nd, 2017, the county council voted to spend up to $400,000 to study and plan development of the Marine Science Center on the 3 acres on 3 acres in front of the lighthouse, this particular piece of property we're talking about. Property north of Lighthouse Drive was public use. The park line is on the south side of Lighthouse Drive. None of that was there prior to us engineering the state buying that land. Okay, what we did in this letter, which really comes to today, is a call for action. Preserve the Marine Science Center by suspending all expenditures on anything having to do with the Marine Science Center. Pretty strong statement. But at that time, they were planning a manatee aquarium and super duper water supply from the river. Lois was instrumental in riding herd on that with the state. And that was why the words had to be really strong at that time. You were here. Of course, Gary was here. The next world-class turtle rescue and hospital investments in the existing structure in satisfaction of the original mission statement taking for the center. This has been done.
I think, and Mr. Was that the timer? How much longer do you have to share with us?
A minute and a half.
A minute and a half? We'll give you 2 minutes.
Five, maybe. But I'll cut it short.
Yes.
The other thing is no disturbance of the structure, but bringing all utilities and turtle support activities up to code. This has been done. Designing and building a state-of-the-art turtle hospital. This has really been done. Maintain the human scale of the facility. Do not disturb the weathered ramps affording sense of discovery entering the ground. The human scale has been maintained, even though you're almost increasing the size of the whole center, building-wise. Also, do not disturb the live oak and bay canopies adjacent to the structure. Maintain the Lighthouse Drive approach, ambiance by no new parking, and Lighthouse Drive. They were proposing 35 spaces on the entranceway on Lighthouse Drive. It caught our attention, and that's where they haven't done that. They've kept it on site, extending the parking that's already there, which is a very good thing. So, bottom line, they've done what we ask. And we're delighted, and thank you very much. And I would say that the board, Gary and Mr. Perrone, were instrumental along the way to improving the Marine Science Center, and that's true. Thank you very much.
James, thank you very much. Thank you so much for this. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And I think the county does as well. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else in the public who wishes to speak? Okay, so based upon the staff report dated January 8th, the testimony of Chad McVie and Clay Irvin, and the recommendation of approval of the landscape plan by the Cultural Services Board, and review and recommendation for approval by the Planning Board of the final development plan, and the Town Council finding that LUDC Section 2.16.E.15 criteria have been met, along with the 6 general criteria applicable to all development plans under Section 6.6.6.B.5.B have been met. Council approves the Learning Center expansion final development plan. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Perutzky?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes. Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you so very much, County. Thank you and congratulations. And we do appreciate you taking such good care, being good stewards of our property here and our turtles and wildlife. And thank you for such a fine presentation. I know this was a lot of work, and you all did a very fine job for us, working with the staff and our boards and us. So thank you very much.
Just a comment. 21 years ago, my grandson bent over and played in the pond for the first time, and it's finally getting enlarged.
I believe, let's see, item 9, we did item 9. Now we're up to citizens' participation, and this is the opportunity for our residents to come and speak for up to 5 minutes. Please provide your name and address for the record, and please speak into the mic. I have two pink. The first one, I have Thomas Magnetti.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. My name is Thomas Magnetti. I live at 5 Beacon Court in Ponce Inlet. And I have a safety concern I'd like to bring to your attention. As you are all well aware, there are signs along the sidewalk on Peninsula Avenue that indicate pedestrians have the right-of-way. Mm-hmm. However, the last sign is just north of Inlet Harbor. Because of the cul-de-sac nature of my house, I have to walk my dog along Peninsula, and generally I walk the dog south from Bay Harbor to Beach. And on a regular basis, I am confronted by bicyclists who do not give me the right of way. And so what I'm asking you to consider is at least two more signs. It's about a mile from Inlet Harbor to Beach, and if you could put two of those signs, say, around where Bay Harbor intersects with Peninsula and Beach where intersects with Peninsula, I think that might go further in alleviating this problem. On a number of occasions, the bicyclists come right up to me, and I'm afraid they're going to hit my dog. And if I say anything to them, like pedestrians have the right of way, they're usually verbally abusive. The last time, a woman called me an idiot. So I would ask that you consider extending those signs farther down Peninsula Drive, so that at least, you know, I can point to something when the bicyclists won't stop or they come to a quick stop in front of me.
Thank you. Mr. Magnetti, thank you. Is this something
can
we
can... Can I ask you a question, please?
Yes.
Are these people on bicycles adults or children?
They're adults.
They're adults. Thank you.
Yeah, that's something we can...
I have to say, most of them are adults, and the ones who come hurtling towards me, they're either older than I am or close to my age.
That's something we can certainly take a look at. You know, we'll get our police department. You know, they're very active in trying to make sure our streets are safe and sidewalks, so we'll definitely take a look at that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And if you wouldn't mind, sir, if you could leave your contact information.
Yeah.
You did? Okay, you got that? Okay. All right, perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chair?
Jair Kessler, 81 Bushman Drive. I'll be very brief. I just would like to request the town to do an annual shredding at the community center And also, which you had, I believe it was 2 years ago, where you could bring bottle, you know, containers that could not go into your normal recycle bins. That was very useful. If you had paint or something toxic, it was specially disposed of at the marine, at the community center.
Thank you, Chair. We will look into that. We did do that 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, we did. I mean, it costs money.
It costs money.
It's certainly something that we can look at for next year's budget process.
Okay.
Yes, very my good. Old paint sitting on the shelf would appreciate that.
I don't have any other pink cards. Is there anyone else? We have one other gentleman there. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for taking the time to hear us this evening. My name is Jeff Wilner from 4670 Links Village Drive. I'm a resident and a CSA board representative from Harbor Village. The CSA board is responsible for all common elements within Harbor Village. My colleague Rick Gray is with me tonight. As you may know, we recently built a seawall and rebuilt our stair access to the beach. We had lots of help. Our contractor, Cove Points, did a great job. We are also very grateful for the assistance provided by Mike Disher and Hank Baker. They were both a big help, no doubt. Today we are here to talk about the demolition and reconstruction of our boardwalk from Atlantic Avenue to the current stairs. We have continued to maintain both the structure and have assumed all liability associated per our agreement with Ponce Inlet back in 1998. However, maintenance is no longer feasible. It needs to be replaced. This access is not just for our residents, but is available for use by all residents and visitors of Ponce Inlet. The estimates from Cove Points are here for your perusal. Mr. Disher has copies for everybody. Today, we are asking for your financial help in this project. Mr. Disher has advised us that this is the first step in the process of appealing to the town of Ponce Inlet for funding. The end.
Thank you. Rick, is there anything you would like to add, Rick? Anything?
Did you have anything else to add?
No, I think we're good. We've got a really good working relationship with the town. We hope we can keep doing it, and I think that's a very nice amenity for the town to have access to the beach like that, and any help you guys can give us in this process, we will very much appreciate.
Has anybody been to see the new walkway that we put in?
Right.
It should look very much like the one you did, Mike, over at that small park where you had such a huge elevation difference, and you put that center section in there.
Right.
We emulated that.
Do you have any feel or any idea how many of your non-residents are using that walkway? If it's available to them, is it being used by the general public to any great degree? Can you monitor that, or
it's
maybe
difficult
get some
to
numbers?
Monitor. Gary, basically, we watch people drop people off there with different things that they're taking onto the beach, and then they go over to the park to park. So do they use the walkway? Yeah, in many cases they do. We also have water to wash off your peripherals, your shoes, your feet, your body when coming off the beach. So we have that amenity also. So that's included in there. So do we know exactly? No.
We have seen during any type of holiday periods and also during the summer months, quite a few people do use that. And not everybody's from Harbor Village, because a lot of us are gone during the summer, but it gets, on any special occasions, that boardwalk gets a lot of use. We don't know exact numbers, but
Assuming that there is no identification that says it belongs to you. It looks like a public facility.
It does look like a public facility. Yep.
That's absolutely correct.
Now, when you ask for contribution, do you have, first of all, a percentage in mind, and you're still assuming 100% of the liability? Is that correct?
That's correct. We have assumed the liability along with the maintenance since its construction in 1998, 1999.
So this request is essentially stating that you are benefiting the public to some degree and you're looking for contribution, I guess, during our budget process or
contribution,
something.
Contribution,
yeah,
grant.
Do you have something in mind?
Well, with the estimates that Mike had, the total amount, the total cost to rebuild, actually to take down the existing structure and rebuild from scratch the new structure, is right around $92,000. So we'd be looking for a contribution slash grant, whatever you may term it, and somewhere around the 50K level.
Does that figure include wood or the more expensive, longer lasting plastic product?
No, it excludes wood.
That's strictly wood. As the estimate does designate exactly the kind of wood that's being used, along with all of the associated
pressure-treated lumber,
yes,
basically.
Correct.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
And stainless steel,
none
screws,
of the Trex
and
material,
bolts.
No.
Right. We're not using Trex in this. If we did, it'd be twice that, at least.
Well, we appreciate it. This was this first step, and what we may need along the way, we will certainly reach out to you. So thank you for coming here this evening. We appreciate that, and that this is your first step.
That's correct, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank
Mayor.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Anyone else? Seeing none,
Mayor, if I could just add on to a little bit, just for background.
Yes.
They're talking about the Harbor Village dune walkover that goes from Atlantic to the beach. That was a requirement of the development agreement for Harbor Village when that was built, that the developer put in this walkway, agreed to maintain it, and opened it to the public. So it is not private in any sense. And so, you know, based on our previous discussions, it started almost a year ago after the hurricanes hit. It's my understanding they're looking for a one-time contribution to help rebuild this thing, you know, given that it is open to the public. So, you know, I advise them this is the place to start to introduce the topic and just make people aware of it. But ultimately, that's going to be a budget decision of the town council.
Yes. Okay.
Mayor, can I ask one question? And again, if the town so chooses to participate in this, would we not be required to get more than one bid?
Well, yeah, that's a really good question. What you have here is just their estimate from the contractor.
Understand.
That they've been using, yeah, up to this point.
But our response back to them at that time is we would be required to get more than just one bid.
Yeah, it would have to, yeah, follow our purchasing procedures.
Okay.
For sure.
Thank you.
Okay, so citizen participation is closed. We are at item 11A, Resolution 2024-01. Supporting the Florida League of Cities Legislative Action Agenda for the 2024 legislative session. Cliff, would you please read the resolution by title only?
Yes, Mayor. Resolution 2024-01, read by title only, a resolution of the Town of Ponsonant, Volusia County, Florida, urging members of the Florida Legislature to support the 2024 Florida League of Cities Legislative Platform, providing for severability, providing for conflict and resolutions, and providing an effective date.
Thank you, Cliff. As you know, I attend on behalf of the town of Ponsonlet, the Florida League of Cities conferences. I sit on a policy committee. I sat as the chair of the advocacy committee. You know that the work that I do here and in Tallahassee, I'm advocating on behalf of the town. And the legislative action days are around the corner, and I have become the point person as the president of the Volusia League to bring the other elected officials with me into the offices of the legislators. And we're going to be talking about the legislative action agenda that the Florida League of Cities has put together after all of the policy committees. And I provided for you a copy of the priorities and the policies of the league as part of this staff report. What I'm asking for today is for you to approve the resolution that's a part of this packet that incorporates the league's legislative agenda, and the resolution essentially provides all of us with the authority, the scope of what we should be talking about when we speak with our legislators, or when you get those legislative action alerts from the Florida League of Cities, write a letter to your legislator. If you're going to write, we it's prudent for us to have something in writing to show that the council supports this, and it also provides, it's a reflection of our support of the league's legislative platform. I put in the resolution what I put in last year. We did this last year as well, the different priorities and the policies. And just so you know, the resolution is a template that is used by the Volusia League of Cities. They've already signed off in their support of all of these policies and priorities, as did Port Orange, DeLand, and Holly Hill. So I'm hoping we can do it so that I have it when I go on up to Tallahassee the end of this month. Does anyone need or want to go through any of the specifics, or however you want to handle this? Go ahead, Bill. Well, Phil's ready.
I read it and I truly support it, but I have a question that I'd really like you to find out.
Okay.
Under public safety, recruitment, and retention, I noticed that we're doing in law enforcement office and firefighters.
Yeah.
I question, and our problem is, from what I understand, is the fact that we don't have enough here, so we want to loosen the regulations. Yet we had 1,000 teacher vacancies this past year when the state of Florida opened up schools, and yet they have to go through the same certification requirements that these people have to do, and it wasn't included. So I want this one in there, but it's just a question of why did they leave out 1,000 vacancies? If you can find that out when you're up there sometime, I'd really appreciate it. I know Broward County, we used to have a reciprocal with different states concerning certification. It may be that we have it in the state of Florida, but I'd really like to know if we do, and what are we going to do about those 1,000 vacancies? We probably have that many firefighters and law enforcement officers short, but, you know, they're taking care of us now, but the educators are our future.
Bill, I will find that out.
I'd really appreciate it, because I think they did a wonderful job, and I full-heartedly support it, but I just had that question.
You would like to have seen that within that platform right there.
They're not going to put it under public safety and recruitment.
Right,
but the reason why it was not mentioned at all.
Okay. I'll find that out, Bill. Anyone else? Anyone have any questions for me on this? Gary? Anyone in the public have any questions about this? Okay, well then, seeing none, I will entertain a motion regarding this item then.
I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution 2024-01 as presented.
Second.
This is a
wonderful
document.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. A roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanueva?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peretzky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, everyone. I appreciate that. Okay, now we are on to agenda item 11B, resolution 2024-02, amending the town council's rule of order for conducting town council meetings. Cliff, would you please read the resolution by title only?
Yes, Mayor, resolution 2024-02, read by title only, a resolution of the town council of the town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, amending resolution 2023-02, governing the rules of order for conducting town council meetings, to change the time such meetings begin, unless required otherwise by state law, and to move the citizen participation for non-agenda items portion toward the beginning of the agenda, providing for sunset, providing for conflicting resolutions, providing for severability, and providing an effective date.
Mike, would you like to take?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is a draft resolution to follow up on the council's discussion last month about changing the meeting times, moving around the citizens' comment period on the agenda. So that's what this ordinance would do. It would this would be a temporary 4-month trial period for this. So it would move the start of the council meeting times from 6 p.m. to 2 p.m. Now, the one exception with that, by state law, that's where the exception comes in. For budget hearings and also rezonings, you have to have those after 5 p.m. So we would have to figure out how that would work if, you know, when we get to that point. Under Section 3, the citizens' participation for non-agenda items, that's moved to toward the beginning, not to the very beginning, but toward the beginning. And it's interesting. I was looking at some minutes from back in the 90s, and that's where it was back then. So this is not a novel concept. It's just one has been that way for a while. And then, it does that. And then the sunset period, that's for 120 days. That gives us 4 months to try this out. If you were to go, I did the math, if you're to do 90 days, that only gives us two meetings based on how the calendar falls. But if you wanted to incorporate three meetings, then you could do 100 days. Or I'd suppose there are probably alternate ways to do that. You could tie it to specific meetings or, you know, any number of ways. But that's right now that if you want to do 120 days, that gives us four meetings to try it out.
Mike, thank you very much. What I just want to say is we're just conducting a trial here, and we will be briefly discussing this at our town hall meeting in February. We'll have a lot of people there. And I personally believe moving the citizen participation to the earlier part of a meeting will bring more people in to talk with us, knowing that they're not going to be staying for hours before they have the opportunity to speak with us, because they could stay, of course. But if they really want to get in and get out, that works well. And you know the county does it that way and many other municipalities. I just think that will be a lot more convenient for our residents. And as to the time, the 2 o'clock, we have our entire town staff available to us in the afternoon, not just department heads, for our use during a business meeting. So there's something that could be very beneficial for us, that sometimes it's not the town head, that the department head that has the answer to something. It's the person working in the department. That is something. And you know, our residents in December really made some compelling points about having the meetings earlier in the day. I think we owe it to our residents to give this a try. So those are my thoughts on this, and I would like to support this, you know, on a trial basis. So I open it up. Does anyone have anything to say, Joe?
Of course. Sorry. I said, of course I do.
That's good.
It's just a question. And I did attend the Volusia County Council meeting on the 4th of January, and they were actually going through the same process that we're doing right now. Discussion came up about changing their days, and they made a pretty good point that kind of stuck with me, and I'll throw it out there, and I don't have an opinion basically either way, but they discussed Thursdays as a change of date or days for them, and that was one council member. But what came back, and this is the part that stuck to me, was they said Thursdays is a travel day for a lot of people, you know, for taking a long weekend, or for some of the staff if they want to leave, you know, Thursday afternoon. And let's say we start our meeting here at Thursday at 2 o'clock, and we're still going till 6 potentially. You know, I know we say 5. But I throw that out there because if we're going to make a change, would Wednesday put us in a better position for people that would be taking a long weekend potentially? But also, too, the other part that I see, if something comes up on a Thursday afternoon, I know – back in my old business world, Friday was always a work day, but it's a work day getting ready for the weekend, if that makes sense. And Cliff's shaking his head, yes.
But
you know, it's a point to talk about, and I'm good with Thursdays, I'm good with Wednesday, but when I heard that Volusia County, it made my brain start thinking. But, and again, you know, I know our employees work hard on Fridays. Don't take that as a bad comment. But again, you're thinking about Saturday. So if something important comes up on a Wednesday, it gives them Thursday, Friday after that meeting to potentially, you know, go after a subject that we bring up. But it's just a suggestion.
Thank you, Skip. I think it's a very good suggestion that we can talk about. I don't know if there's a downside at the moment to that at all, but any thoughts on anything here,
well,
Gary?
The thought, as I said before, that the last time having been one of those staff people, but they had their meetings at 9 in the morning. And so if there is a town issue and you want to get it there, the 2 o'clock might go to 9. But I think it's good for the staff because they do it during work hours. It's all there, been there, done that, and I would have much preferred what I had rather than coming back at night.
Yeah. How do you feel about Wednesday instead of Thursday?
I don't think the day makes any great difference. I don't think the day is sacred at all.
Okay.
Because you can try different days at different times to begin with and see that. Might get a little confusing if we keep shifting the day from time to time, but that's the only way to find out. And we're trying to get more people to come listen and to participate. And so it's an experiment to find out, can we do that?
Thank you, Gary. Bill, anything?
You know I'm over.
I know, you're fine. Joe, anything?
No, I can make the accommodation for Wednesdays if we do that.
You're good with Wednesday, too.
Mayor?
The audience, the public, yes, there's the lawyer.
Yeah, much like the reason why, as you'll find me saying sooner, I may have a problem at the next meeting, which I'm going to talk about. I have a commitment to the POPCA on Wednesdays, the same Wednesday, so I was at a POPCA's meeting last night from 7 till 10.
Oh.
And so I still could do this if it's in the afternoon, depending how long it ran. If it's going to be me, for me to get back to a POPCA for their meetings on that Thursday that start at 7 p.m., then I'd have to make sure I got out of here probably no later than 4:30. And so I just want to make you aware. Now, if it's going to be a situation where you think you have an extra long meeting, I can try to find coverage as I've had before. But as I mentioned to somebody before, we set up all the councils that we agreed to represent by one of their meeting nights, mm-hmm. so we know we don't have conflicts.
Right.
So I don't have a conflict with Thursday, typically, but I will absolutely have a conflict if this meeting starts at 2 and runs too long for me to get to a POPCA for their meeting that starts at 7.
If we had it in the morning, does that...
Oh, no, that's fine. The daytime is fantastic because usually it's night meetings. But this happens to be a night meeting that is in Apopka, which is an hour plus with traffic going that direction.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I wanted to mention.
We're getting ready to do an experiment. We're doing an experiment, changing the time, and we're doing an experiment to see how that goes and putting the other items forward. I don't think we should do it all at one time. Let's see how the first part works, and then we'll go back and look at Skip's suggestion.
I think that's a good idea.
I mean, I don't want to jam it down the community's throat. And, you know, we're changing the time, we're changing the day, we're changing the procedure of the meeting, and then say, oh, here we are. Let's try the first things, and then go back to Skip's suggestion and see how that works.
I think that makes a lot of sense. It does. Cliff, I'm a little confused, though. Wait. Do you have a conflict right now with us with the POPCA?
No, right now they meet on Wednesdays and you meet on Thursdays.
Okay,
but
fine.
You're talking about going to Wednesdays, and
no.
If you go to Wednesdays
now
at
we're
2,
not.
I can still do Wednesdays at 2,
right.
But I'd have to leave here no later than 5:30.
We understand. Okay, that's fine. So would anyone in the audience like to comment on this at all? Anyone? Go ahead, Kathy. Yeah, come on up.
Kathy Harvey, 41 Loggerhead. I love the idea of the Wednesday. I think that makes a lot of sense. But I do agree with Bill that you do too much change and it's not received very well. So the only part that I missed is, so are we saying for sure it would be, the suggestion would be 2, or are we backing up and saying it could be 9?
No. We're saying, I think we're just saying 2:00 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we mentioned
right?
9 as maybe that would be better. It was just a maybe it would be better. But I think 2:00, and I agree with you and Bill, I think we just have to hesitate a little bit doing too many changes. But Wednesday's good, too. So, all right. That's
yeah,
good.
That sounds really nice. I like the logic. I really do. I don't know that really makes a big difference right now because look at the attendance. Bad. So it's always the same people, so you would just have to ask us. And
well, you were very articulate. The residents were articulate in December, so this is what we're doing.
Okay,
and I'd like to see the way it works. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to see how it works. That's why I want to present it at the town hall and just tell people this is what we're doing. This is our trial for the next couple of months. So that's good. Okay. Yes, Chair.
I think the trial should be the time, but I don't think you should make it a trial about citizen participation at the beginning.
Tell me what your thoughts are.
Well, I think that your point about people being able to come and speak and then leave if they want to while you go about the business is an absolute. I don't see how there is any advantage of keeping citizen participation for later. So I don't know why everything has to be a trial basis. Couldn't you say this is what has been decided?
And do you like it earlier? I'm sorry. Do you like it earlier, citizen participation, to have it at the
Absolutely.
Beginning?
Absolutely. Yes. I think that's a very, and as you said, it's being done that way.
It is, yeah.
I don't know, but I'm just saying if you want to propose at the next meeting that we are trying an experiment with the time of day to have the meeting, to respect the staff and to hope that this will bring more citizen participation, that's one thing. But I think you should distinguish that between the idea of putting citizen participation at the beginning of the meeting instead of later.
You would like to see that not as a trial.
Exactly.
You want it done.
Yes.
Okay. Thoughts?
I'm good with that.
Are you good with that, Gary?
Trial.
Well, it's done until we change it, so...
Yeah.
Term trial. Yeah. Now, this was a trial, but it was a very long trial. Now we're changing. It's a play on words of whatever. It makes no difference.
Okay. Jer, it is one of the things that I will advocate to remain no matter what. I can tell you that because I've seen the way it works. People don't want to sit for hours. You know that, for 2 hours, and people don't come sometimes because they say it's so long, but we want to hear from them. So it's one of those things. I respect what you're saying, Jer, I do, but we'll leave it like this for now. I think this is good. Are there any other citizen, anything? Nothing here. We'll entertain a motion then on this resolution.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2024-02. As presented.
Second.
A motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peretzky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
So. Okay.
Thank you. Our next meeting will be at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock is our next meeting. Cliff, 2 o'clock is our next meeting. On a Thursday.
Thursday.
Okay.
We're doing this in baby steps.
Just send out a reminder.
Have a substitute form, both places.
Have a backup.
We are at 11C. This is adoption of the town council goals. Cliff, would you please read the resolution by title only?
Resolution 2024-03, a resolution, read by title only, a resolution of the Town Council of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Volusia County, Florida, adopting the goals of the town for fiscal years 2023-2024 and 2024-2025, providing for severability, providing for conflicting resolutions, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Mike?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, what you have here are the goals that were reviewed by the council in December. In a nutshell, we have removed the goals that have been completed, and those are attached to the memo. The new goals for the next 2 years are attached to the resolution. So if there's any additional changes, please let us know. We can include that. Otherwise, these are what we're going to be working on for the next 2 years.
Well, thank you, Mike. We've had an opportunity to review these. Does anyone have any questions for Mike?
No.
Does anyone in the audience have any questions about the goals that have been listed in this agenda item? I just want to say that I'm very appreciative. I know it took a lot to put it together, and I think we all recognize that due to staffing, hurricane, state legislation, things ebb and flow, and we know there's flexibility built in. So thank you. We'll take a motion on this resolution.
I'll do a reservation to approve resolution 2024-03 as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peretzky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we have no old business, no new business. And before we get to the comments of the council members, we will discuss some ideas for honoring Jeff Miller. But Mike, would you be able to just say a few words for us?
Well, sure. Yeah, if I thought we would just start this discussion, I'd like to read his obituary. I don't know if probably most of people have seen it, but if you haven't, I'd like to go ahead and read that. I mean, Jeff was very special to the town, and so we thought we'd honor him at least here in this way. Jeffrey Allen Miller, age 63, passed away unexpectedly at his home in Port Orange, Florida, on January 9, 2024. Born on July 29, 1960, in Front Royal, Virginia, Jeff's journey through life was marked by his profound kindness, creativity, and a deep commitment to his loved ones and community. He leaves behind a legacy of love and cherished memories for his parents, his sister, his adoring sons, and his beloved granddaughter. Each of them treasure Jeff as a phenomenal son, brother, father, grandfather, and friend, whose presence brought light and warmth into their lives. Jeff was a cornerstone in the town of Ponce Inlet, dedicating years of service to the Public Works Department, eventually rising to the role of director. His commitment to public service was unparalleled, and he left an indelible mark on the community he served with such passion. More than his professional achievements, Jeff will be remembered for his vibrant spirit and artistic soul. An avid music lover, his skill in playing the guitar brought joy to many. As an artist, his creativity knew no bounds, and he found beauty in the simplest of things. Jeff's quick-witted humor was a source of constant joy, effortlessly turning any challenging day into one filled with laughter and smiles. Most importantly, Jeff was a beacon of love and support. He had an extraordinary ability to make everyone around him feel valued and cared for. His passionate nature extended beyond his immediate circle, touching the lives of many in the community. To honor Jeff's memory, the family kindly requests that in lieu of flowers, consider planting a tree in his honor or making a donation to a charity of your choice. This gesture will ensure his love for nature and helping others continue to thrive in our hearts and in the world. And that was written by his sister.
That was absolutely lovely. It was. Mike, thank you so much. You know, we can begin with some ideas for Jeff. We'll discuss it with the council members, the public, and then I think it would be a good idea to bring something back by way of an agenda item so that the rest of the residents can have input into it in our next council meeting. So I think that I open it up to whichever council member Skip would like to start.
Thank you. This is a tough one. I'd like for the town of Ponce Inlet to honor Jeff Miller, Jeffrey, as I called him, with a memorial in the front of the oak tree in front of Public Works. Jeffrey was loved by all the residents of Ponce Inlet. We all will miss his smile, his candor, and his peace sign as he always drive by in his vehicle. He was a friend of the town and a friend of mine. You always knew where Jeff stood. Whether he was in love with the town that day or not, he'd tell you. But that's okay. I like people like that. So please consider putting a memorial in front of the oak tree in front of the Public Works building. Thank you.
Thank you, Skip. That's a lovely idea. That's absolutely lovely. Does anyone have any other suggestions?
Well,
that
I almost had the same one, because we have people's names, a person's name at the
firehouse.
Oak ramp. We have one on the firehouse, and he was the public works person. Mm-hmm. So yeah. If he loved the oak tree, you could put it on the building, and it could be the Jeff Miller building, or it can be the Jeff Miller tree. But something of that nature.
Definitely makes sense.
We did it for the the park, the little pocket park on the terrace.
Yeah. So, I thought a nice little bench, too, maybe by something with a nice plaque, you know, the bench, tree,
yep.
plaque,
yep.
some beautiful, something beautiful, you know, granite, I don't know. But those were my ideas. I think we all have some ideas. We can put something together to come back, and I do want to open this up. Is there anything you want to say, Bill?
No.
Is there anyone in the public that would like to make a suggestion that we could... Oh, wait. Oh, go ahead, Robert. Come on up. Oh. It doesn't matter. Hi, Karen.
Karen and Kathy.
Karen Ree, 49 Marie Drive. I think we should name the Public Works Building after Jeff.
Robert.
Beat her to it.
So what we will do, if there's no... Oh, Mark, I see a hand up.
Mark Obeck, 4758 South Peninsula Drive. I was going to suggest the same thing. Another thought came to mind was dedicating the whole back of the community center, the entire property there in memory of him, because he was always there maintaining it, and I always called on him to do something special, and he was there like that. And that's a beautiful spot, plenty of ground, put a nice bench there, also on that slab that we have. So that's another idea.
That is another idea. So what we have so far is the Public Works Building, to name it after Jeff. There's an oak tree by Public Works. We could set up something lovely there with a plaque, a memorial, of, you know, with a bench, and then dedicating the back of the community center where he worked. Is that by the gazebo? You're talking about the back, that whole back area? Does anyone have any other ideas? Because what we will do is put this together in an agenda format for us to discuss further. The staff will have a little bit more time to look into these things, and the residents will have an opportunity to weigh into next month.
Well, just food for thought, the area behind the community center may not be there for long if we build the firehouse and switch. So... it's a good idea if it was going to remain, but that's food for thought.
Okay.
For the future.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Because do you need anything from us, Mike, to...
No, I think that's fine. And, you know, and if it's okay, I'd like to get input from staff as well, you know, his colleagues.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, we'll bring all that back.
And input from the people he worked with as well. So... right? Is that what you mean? Over at Public Works. I want to thank you. These ideas are wonderful, all of them. It, you know, it's, we want to do what's right. We want to honor him. He was a very, very special man for all of us. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
And I did want to add one other idea. I got an email from Nancy Ebbs at the Lions Club, and their idea was to plant a tree in his honor at Timaquan Oaks Park.
Okay. So we'll have... some ideas. I'm not sure if you're going to be comfortable making a recommendation. Probably not, but it, you know, just to get more input. Okay, that's great. Thank you, everybody. I really appreciate this. This is good. Okay, so we're gonna go back now to our end of night comments. Okay, so. Gary, is there anything you'd like to share with us this evening?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Since I'm not a quasi-judicial judge anymore, I can vent my frustration over the issue I wanted to bring up. And in doing that, I'm requesting that we put in an item on next week's agenda to discuss the maintenance responsibilities of Atlantic Boulevard. And you saw the backup. The people here saw the backup there. The audience did not. And just a brief reason of why it's frustrating that the county had the entire Atlantic Boulevard until 1987. And that year, they unceremoniously wrote us a letter and said, we're giving the town Atlantic Boulevard starting at the northern edge of Beach Street, and you maintain it from then on. At that point in time, in 1987, there was nothing below Beach Street except the houses on Atlantic Avenue and the houses on Caribbean Way. Nothing was beyond that. A few years later, everything was down there. The park, the Marine Science Center, and Lighthouse Drive. And so we've been trying ever since then to give it back to the town. And now they're increasing the Marines down to the county. And it's in the works. And the designation of the road used to be a collector road, and south was a local road, which is the reason they gave it to us. But I've been working with the TPO and the other people, and they're changing the designation of Atlantic Boulevard to a collector road all the way to Lighthouse Drive. And that becomes their front door. And in addition, we own, right now, the intersection. So all of their sand that blows up onto that intersection is ours to remove and dispose of. It belongs to the county, and I think we should prepare something with all that information and send it back to them again. We tried that with a letter from the town in 2017, and it was basically ignored. So I think it's time to try it again. Now I may be able to sleep better tonight. Thank you.
Would it be okay if I added to that?
I would appreciate, yes.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I just wanted to, the mayor and I have this has been on his to-do list for a very long time. And, we've tried different avenues to get that, and the answer has either been no or no answer at all. The no answer that we got in 2017, that was a formal request from the previous town manager at the direction of this council. And the response back was, well, no, it's classified as a local road, and the county doesn't maintain local roads. They also referred to what's called the Federal Functional Classification Map. And that's where it says it's a local road versus a collector, that kind of thing. Those maps are only updated every 10 years. And so back in 2017, that was midway through that process, or it was midway between when it was going to be updated, so the county wasn't going to do anything. And in fact, their letter said, next time it's updated, essentially, we'll see. There's a process for that. You're just going to have to wait. Essentially, that was what they were saying. Well, that process has started. That started last year. DOT reached out to all the different jurisdictions, asked for any updates. The staff provided DOT with traffic counts. Of course, they have their own traffic counts, and they agreed. That's not a local road. That's handling way too much traffic to be considered a local road anymore. So we have, and we've confirmed that just yesterday, that that's still their position. There is a process for that, though. It's not only the classification, but also the urban boundaries, basically the city boundaries of each city in the United States. This is all tied to the U.S. Census. So it's not just a Volusia County thing. It's actually, this is going on all over the place. So that process has started. Last year, the TPO, that's our Transportation Planning Organization for Volusia County, voted to approve that. And then I believe it's this month, they're also voting to approve changes to the urban boundaries. And then they're going to package those up together and then send that to the state DOT. Once they look at it, they really have no reason to say no once it's been approved at the local level. Then they send that up to the Federal Highway Administration. And then once that's done, then everyone's got to change their maps to match. So the county will need to change its map, and then that's when these kind of changes can occur, I think. So that's expected to happen sometime in the summer or fall.
Do you need us to do anything?
I don't think so at this point. I mean, we've had the conversation with the county staff. I mean, they are in agreement with it conceptually. In fact, they've told us they're going to go out. That what they have, I mean, it's a little bit more than just the classification. There's also, they're only going to take it over if the road meets certain criteria. Like, it's got to be, it can't be in bad shape. In other mm-hmm. words, if there are maintenance issues, if it doesn't have a certain density or compactness to support traffic, you know, they may not.